I ask your attention to Psalm 80 and verse 19, the 80th Psalm and the 19th verse. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. You will see as you read down, I trust, the place where Asaph was, often a mourning, distressed psalmist. But he here describes the pathway which he was found to be in. Commences the psalm with that exercise of spirit, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. His prayer begins with his God, his psalm begins with his God, his psalm ends with his God. Three times he writes the same thing, says the same thing, turn us again. There is a difference in those three. Turn us again, O God. And then again, he says, turn us again, O God of hosts. And in the last one, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. That was his cry. There was a reason for his cry. His prayer was entered into the ears of the Lord God of Sabaoth. It was the Lord's dealings with him. I feel that there's a contrast in this dear man's psalm. It wasn't the world, and it wasn't his enemies. It was his God. But it was the same God that was brought him into dark paths and distressing paths, that it was to that same God he looked for deliverance. As you read down it, you would have noticed, I should have feel the way in which he describes the dealings of the Lord with him and indeed with his people. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, thou givest them drink, tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbours, and our enemies laugh among themselves. What is it to the people of God that God is angry with their prayers? I do believe, my friends, that's not the anger that we know as a natural effect of emotion upon us. I believe the dear man was looking to the Lord because of those unanswered prayers, because of the prayers that he had laid up before his God. And the people of God, taught of the Spirit, lay them up before the Lord. There's a long, and I want to be right here, and I want to be reverently in my speech here. There seems to be a long delay. How long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? As if he was to say, Lord, we pray, and thou does not hear, neither dost thou answer. And then there's the feeding them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure, and so on. And then he reminds the Lord of, and I believe he has a view of the Israel of God here. First, of course, in a collective way, Israel was brought out of Egypt. Thou brought a vine out of Egypt, and hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, the wild beast of the field doth devour it. so there is this collective complaint on the state and condition of Israel. And then he comes to the cry of his heart. We might say it suits us well as a cause of truth. And it suits those who love Zion well and the respective houses of prayer which they worship in week after week after week. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. Oh, is that not the secret as well as the public petition of the children of God in Zion? We may look at these words as they reflect Israel, but they reflect the Zion of God also. If you are amongst the people of God, you've been brought out of Egypt, the Egypt of this world. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it. Thou didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. Takes my mind back to the book of Job. What did Job say about his miserable comforters? Well, he said this about himself, that they should see that the root of the matter's there. But he was in trouble, and so was the people of God. The root of the matter's there. She sent out, it did cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. And what does he speak of? There's life, my friends. There's life. You know, when you plant something, you can't see it, but there's life there. And the roots go out, and it stretches out, and it goes after dampness and water. And it goes after that which it will grow by. And as it increases month by month, it's because the root's well grounded, and it's found moisture, and it'll grow by it. And so it is with a child of God. Grace in the soul is not a dormant blessing, my friends. It's a living blessing. And it goes out after that which it will grow by. And it will go out and it will grow. It will grow in grace. And it will grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. But then there's the opposite. Why then hast thou broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. But there's still life. You know, that's something that Satan couldn't do. He couldn't take life away. He cannot take life away. If you and I are under spiritual life and possess spiritual life, eternal life at his request to every saint is given. Safety on earth and after death, the plenitude of heaven, and no one can take that life away. There's not a devil in hell that's got that power. Satan himself, that mighty foe of the church of God, can't remove that life. Jesus said to his people, I'm come that they might have life. And my friends, and no one can take that away. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. But they'll know these casting down times. They'll know these distressing seasons. Oh, that this prayer in the 14th verse and the 15th verse may be the cry of our hearts constantly for our own soul and for the house of God. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine. Some of you can speak of personal visits and bless God for it. Some of you may mourn because there's no personal visits. My friends, I mourn because there's the visits that I long to see, at least I feel, has not as yet come. The Lord visit this vine. And what will he do? Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. So you can see the cry of this dear psalmist, these three cries that are put through this psalm, found in this psalm, and he closes it. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. the blessed man, he could see where his comforts were. He could see where his deliverances must come from. This was the God that had chastened him. This was the God that had taught them hard things. This was the God that brought them to feel their poverty. This was the God from whence their blessings come. My friends, he looked to where the source of the mercy and the blessings and the comforts might come from. And he looked to God who was able. Turn us again. Just take you back a week. Last Sunday we sang this. By whom shall Jacob now arise? Can any tell by whom? Say, shall this branch that withered lies again revive and bloom? Lord, thou canst tell, the work is thine, the help of man is vain. On Jacob now arise and shine, and he shall live again. And what else did we sing? Do you remember these things are not coincidences, my friends? They said the hymns last week were indications of a low place. What do we sing? Lord, decide the doubtful case. Thou who art thy people's son, shine upon the work of grace, if it be indeed begun. My friends, these are not coincidences. This is the feelings of the people of God. These are the expression of those who fear the Lord. This is not the sitting back and thankful for this and resting, as it were, on one's laurels. My friends, this is the place, this house of God, and you who worship here, this is the exercise that I hope and trust, and I have to say should be, within your spirit. A look into him who dwells in glory. A look into him who himself said, when here on earth all power is given unto me, in heaven and in earth, turn us again, O Lord of God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Why is there a need for the Lord to turn us? My friends, I have to say this, that it's because we need turning. And what is it that, why does he say turn us? What's made the difference? Where has the change come? And if we need to be turned, where are we looking at the moment? Where is the eyes of our spirit found now that we need to pray the Lord to turn us? Well, I believe this, whatever place you are found in, or me, my friends, there is this, turning to him, not rending the garments. You know, there was a lot of outward evidences of repentance. You read in the book of Job, when they told him of his troubles, one after another came into Job and told him of the things that happened amongst his possessions and amongst his family. And he sat down in abject sorrow. We best read it, and then it's accurate. But it's one of the evidences of the true repentance, is the place that he was found in. And when they lifted up their eyes, that's his friends, they made an appointment to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off, and they knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle, and sprinkled dust upon their heads towards heaven, and they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw his grief was great. My friends, this is not the time for rending garments. This is the time to render our hearts. Turn us again. As if Asaph would say, direct our eyes to thee. May we look to thee for this restoring, this reviving, this healing virtue, this strengthening and restoring times turn us again. My friends, do we not need to look there? Haven't we got enough evidence in the Word of God that should lead us and direct us and encourage us to look to Israel's God? What does that good man say? Jehoshaphat, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. My friends, there's such a need then to turn, not turn as we might, as many will try to say. You know, they'll say, well, all you've got to do is look to the Lord. All you've got to do is to make your supplication. My friends, it's not your face you turn. It's not that, it's your spirit. It's your very soul. My friends, it's this spiritual work within that looks to him. Turn us again. Oh, that we might look to the Lord God of hosts. Him with whom there is all power in heaven and in earth. To Israel's God. Look back at the psalm where it begins. O shepherd of Israel. Who's the shepherd of Israel? Christ, my friends. That's whom the shepherd of Israel is. Where there's restoration needed, where there's redemption needed, where there's salvation needed, where there's restoring needed, it is to the shepherd of Israel that they look. It's not to change this and change that. You see it in these sad days in religion. Well, if they want to start restoring the numbers as it was, well, they start changing the services or the book. They change the hymn books, they change the Bibles, they make it more, what should we say, acceptable to old nature. My friends, the Lord must do the changing. Turn us again. The Lord, turn our spirits unto him. May our prayers be real and not just putting together of words of our minds. May they be taught of the Spirit. The supplications that Asaph prayed were Holy Ghost taught supplications. May our prayers be such, my friends, that they are taught of the Spirit. Do you know you can take comfort here when God teaches you to pray and answer your prayer? When he puts words upon your spirit to pray, take with you words, the Scripture says, when you pray. What words? Whose words? His words. And when you pray according to the Spirit and with the understanding also, my friends, those prayers will be heard by a gracious God in glory. And as I believe Philpott says in one of his portions, such prayers that rest upon the promises that he's given are what they call half-answered prayers. The full answer to them will be in the time and way the Lord appoints. Turn us again. Make our prayers Holy Spirit-taught prayers. Teach us to pray according to the Spirit and with the understanding. Teach us to seek his face. Bring us to true repentance. What does the parable in the Gospel of Luke remind us of? We know him as one who spent his substance in righteous living. He was going the opposite direction. He was going away from his father's house. Literally he was. My friends, the Lord turned him. Where did he turn him? How did he turn him? What did he use to turn him? When he began to be in want, that's when he turned him. And he turned him in this respect. He saw there was nowhere else. He began to be in want. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go unto my father. Blessed words they are, you know. I came home from work once, and I'd been to a meeting. I didn't get home late. I worked all day and a meeting in the evening. And you know, when you get amongst the world, it brings the world out of your heart, you know. I got to bed and I put my head on the pillow and I said to the Lord in secret, I will arise and go unto my Father. I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. There was a turning. God did the turning to the prodigal, and God will do the turning for you. It's not this reformation of character that will turn you. It's the work of the Spirit within. My friends, there was the spirit of prayer. There was the spirit of true repentance. There was the spirit of true confession. But there was a turning. The Lord turned the Lord turned the prodigal. The Lord turns all prodigals away from self unto Christ. Oh, it's a blessed work, my friends, if the Lord's dealing with your soul and turning you towards Him. My friends, there's mercy and there's salvation and there's redemption and there's heaven in these turnings. Turn us again. You know the work of divine grace, when He quickens sinners into divine life, when He begins that work of grace, that new birth, that essential one thing that is needful work. My friends, it's to turn them from the world. You know, when He brings into being a living soul, it's to turn their eyes from the things of the world and unto God. That's the purpose of it. Turn us again. Once we've been turned, grace in the soul will turn. But this is again, this is the restoring, this is the reviving, this is the returning that we tried to sing about in our hymns thus far this morning. You know that lovely hymn we started with? Beautiful hymn, my friends. Does it find an echo? Or did it find an echo? Can you go along with the words? Did you say, well, if that dear man Cowper seemed to pray for it, it seems to fit my case and condition. He looks back. So does this man Asaph. He looks back. When he says, turn us again, he knows those other times. So for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Lovely hymn. And then it says this, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and His word? You know, some people say this, well, you've got to retrace your steps. Retrace your steps, you can't move a finger, my friends, to this restoration. And so he speaks in his hymn, unto the blessed Spirit of truth, return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. Turn us again. The Lord, turn our hearts. The Lord, turn our spirits. Do you remember the day when He turned your feet? The appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but call by grace to change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. Do you remember that day? Well, if you've gone on in that way under the sunshine of His love, and you've got deeper and deeper into salvation, and it's all light, and it's all happiness, and it's all peace, or is it, my friends, that once the Lord has turned you by His Spirit into the ways of God, into the ways of Christ, you then have to say this, what a deceitful heart I got. You know how soon you can be turned. I've often thought this, you know, the Lord lays trouble on His people. I might have said this, but we had a letter from a dear pastor's wife at Christmas, and she said in that letter, the Lord knows how to put His people on their knees. My friends, and so He does. And blessed be God that He still does it. Because there's nothing, my friends, more blessed than a contrite heart and a softened heart and a poor sinner in need. There's nothing more blessed, really, painful than it is, my friends, because their eyes are Christward. Because their needs are spread before the Lord. Turn us again. Oh, grant us these reviving times. Grant us these restoring times. Speak into the soul. Make thyself precious in the want of Him. You know, I say it again, Job again comes to mind. Oh, that I knew where I might find Him. This is what he wanted turning. He wanted to find his God once more. Think of Mary at the tomb, at the day of resurrection, and the tomb was empty. She didn't rejoice that the tomb was empty. She sorrowed and she wept because her Christ wasn't there. Turn us again. My friends, religion without Christ is of no good. But a religion with Christ will take you to glory. But then you know the Lord uses means to turn us. He loads their shoulders well with woe and thus obtains his end. He brings them under his chastening hand. Complain not against his chastening. Thank him for his love. Bless God if you see his chastening as marks and evidences of sonship. Turn us again, my friends. He lays weights, burdens, trials, troubles. Then he shows you what's in your heart. Shows you your deceitfulness of your nature. Shows you the slippery paths that you were walking in, and but for his grace would be found in. Turn us again. My friends, when you ask the Lord to deal with you as his children, it puts you into a trial. It puts you into a trouble. He'll show you your sins, your iniquities. He'll bring to pass those things which will distress you and trouble you. And for what purpose? You'll turn. You'll turn to him. You'll cry unto him. What does he say in the psalm? Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. And thou shalt glorify me. My friends, the day of trouble you won't know unless the Lord puts you in that day of trouble. He'll bring you to the time of trouble, soul trouble, circumstantial trouble, troubles that you would never dreamt of. My friends, what is it for? Because he's chastened you. Why does he chasten his people? Because he loves his people. That's why. Because he loves them. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. You see, this dear man's very prayer then ascended to the ear of the O Shepherd of Israel, to the very person of Christ, to the great head of the church, to him that had done all these things for them, to him who now he looks for redemption and for restoration and for blessing. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. And then you know sometimes we need turning because our hearts have wandered. Our hearts have wandered. Prone to wander. Do you sing that because you know it? This is experience, my friends. I love that hymn 199. Come thou fount of every blessing. But it says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it from thy courts above. My friends, you know what it is. I had a man tell me on the other night in chapel, he said, I sit in the Lord's house, he said, and my mind goes everywhere. Goes everywhere, and so does yours and mine, doesn't it? But this blessed turning is not your turning, it's not our turning, it's the Lord's turning. It's turning unto him. The face will be turned, that is the soul, the very spirit of a soul will turn unto him. My friends, not because they feel inclined to do so, because they must do so. In the 91st Psalm, isn't it? Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. My friends, the Lord is not short of means that his people should turn. They can't turn. This isn't the free offer that these ministers put out. This is the work of the Spirit. I went somewhere the other day and it was upon me to preach from that chapter in John from Bethesda, about Bethesda, about the man who laid at the pool 38 years, helpless and hopeless. And I preached from the question, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou? Is that what you want? He wanted to be made whole. The answer was, sir, I have no man. that when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, for while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. I thought that was a most blessed question from a saviour to a sinner. Wilt thou be made whole? As if he would say, well, is it in you still? 38 years you sat there, do you still want to be made whole? My friends, who are the people who want to be made whole? Those who feel to be lost and ruined in the Adam fall. Those who mourn over sin and after him. They want this wholeness. They want to be found dressed in a righteousness divine, not creature's righteousness, but mine. My friends, this turning, therefore it's the Lord's turning. It's the Lord's work within. And as I said, he's pleased to use solemn means to make, to bring his people into that place where they shall turn to him, to call upon him. But then I believe there's a softer and a gracious way. Turn us again. My friends, if you have presented to the eye of faith a revelation of this dear man, this shepherd of Israel, if you know something of a need of Christ Jesus, and the Lord show you yon lovely man, that's a beautiful description, isn't it? Because that so describes Christ to his people. You know, if you have that view by faith, my friends, your turn. My mind went then to the dying thief. Turn us again. There was his friend wishing to come off the cross, to be delivered from a certain eternal damnation, to come off the cross, to return to his habits, to his ways, to his sins, and to his iniquities. And there was the dear man whose soul was now inflamed with grace, who was now in possession of a life that would never die, brought to look to this blessed person of Christ. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What a turning. The man turned away from Christ to the world, and another man turned to Christ away from the world. There was salvation in that look. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine. You know, there's something very solemn about those words. I looked at Psalm 34 this morning, and in Psalm 34 we find these words. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. But then what? The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Cause thy face to shine. You'll forgive me if I give an illustration. I don't do it often. But you see the evidence in a little child. If you have to rebuke a child, he'll look at your face. He'll look at your face. He does, you know, they do. They look at your face. They want to know whether that's anger or it's love. They watch your face, and when you smile, they'll smile. When you have to tell them off, my friends, they'll look at your eyes, and they'll look at your face to see whether you're really angry with them, because it will distress them. But when you look at them compassionately, as you rebuke them, my friends, they see the difference. Cause thy face to shine. Well, his face will shine only upon his own. You know, that blessed face that was more marred than any man. You know, when Christ was crucified, his face was more marred than any man. In that account that we just reminded you of the dying thief, my friends, there was mercy in that face. There was mercy in that face. There was compassion. There was love in that face. Cause thy face to shine. His face is against the world, is against the wicked, and ever will be. They'll not see his face. Not here by faith, nor in glory at last. Remember the hymn. That hymn what speaks of heaven. There shall we see his face. And never, never sin. And from the rivers of his grace, drink endless pleasures in. Cause thy face to shine. My friends, that is mercy then, that is love. That is true compassion when his face shines upon his people. When they see his face, and it's a face of love, though it is a face, his visage, we read in Isaiah, was more marred than any man. Oh, how his look was a look of love. How his look was a look of mercy. How it was compassionated the cases of his people. Calls thy face to shine. You know, when Moses came down from the mount, having been given the Ten Commandments written by the finger of God, he came down from the mount. And what did they notice about Moses? His face shined. He had been with God. Your face will shine, my friends. You can tell a person who's had a blessing. You can look at their face and you'll know they've had a blessing. They shall be in such a sacred place. Their face will shine with joy, with gladness, with thankfulness, with love to this blessed person. The Lord's face then is against those that do evil. But when it shines into the heart. Turn us again, O Lord, God of hosts, cause thy face to shine. Oh, my friends, do you not long for the shines of his face? Do you not long for those evidences of his love? But again, we must say this, that the dear psalmist here turned to the only place and the only person. He who taught them hard things, whom he depended on for life and grace and mercy, he sought the Lord that he would be turned, and the people of God should be turned unto him who dealeth wondrous things, calls thy face to shine. I feel, my friends, that's beyond description. The Lord Jesus Christ, the person of Christ, that he should have dealings with sinners is of great mercy, but that he should have compassion on their case, and that he should look, and that look shall be a look of love. My time, thy time, shall be a time of love. My friends, do you need his face to shine on you? Brings peace, it does. Brings happiness. Brings comfort. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. The blessed man knew what the remedy was, and he knew the effect of the remedy. Oh, those times and seasons, I'm sure you know it. I hope you know it, some of you. My friends, when you see what it will be when the Lord turns you unto him, when he turns himself unto you, calls thy face to shine, when you see somebody face to face. Abraham was so blessed with that. Moses was so blessed with that. They as it were, had face-to-face conversations with their God. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. There is the remedy. There is the blessing. My friends, and there shall be the fruit of these blessings which are in our God, and we shall be saved. Everything then will be put right. Everything will be right. Everything will be seen to be right. And our salvation shall be known. Turn us again, O Lord, God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Amen. God willing, there's a prayer meeting Wednesday. and I hope to be here next Lord's Day. Closing hymn 1056. See a poor sinner, dearest Lord, whose soul, encouraged by thy word at mercy's footstool, would remain and there would look and look again. How oft deceived by self and pride has my poor heart been turned aside, and Jonah like has fled from thee till thou hast looked again on me. Hymn 1056. Maasai people have such hopeless cases. And it is so, Lord, if we look to ourselves. But Lord, enable them to look to Thee, that Thou wilt save them from despair. And indeed, turn the curse to a blessing. Lord, these things which Thou dost prove Thy people by, Lord, has blessings left behind. Lord, bless the word, pardon what's been spoken amiss. Be with us, Lord, and keep us, and bring us together in the evening of the day, and abide with us. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us, both now and forever. Amen.